here in this church. I was reading the Bible the other day about David and Jonathan and how God had knit their hearts together. And I tell you what, I thank God for Brother Dale. Thank God for Brother John Asquith. And I tell you what, I thank God for the people of this church. And I tell you what, you've been a blessing to me down through the years just to be able to come up here. Brother Hayne, thank God for you. Thank God for the testimonies of some of the young men and young women in this church that have been saved. People have prayed for you down through the years. Thank God for that. And I tell you what, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I want to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. He's talking about being as country as cornbread. And I know I don't have quite the accent, brother, but I'm about as country as cornbread is. And it's just the reality. How country are you? Well, I raise pigs and goats and chickens and all that. I'm pretty country. And but I tell you what, I love the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
The Bible says that the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The Bible says that the law of God is just, it's holy, it's good. If we use it lawfully, it is. The Bible said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
You know the problem with people coming to Jesus Christ, they just come any old, they think they can come any old way they want to in the day which we live in. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
The Bible said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I've been thirsty before a time or two in my life. I've been thirsty. And if you've ever been thirsty, I'm talking about where you've gone about a day, day and a half without anything to drink. If you've ever been thirsty, all you can do is sit around and think about getting something to drink. He said, come up, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Bible said that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
The problem with people today is that they do not believe that they're sinners. They have never came under condemnation of the law of God. They've never seen themselves like God sees them.
Bless you, Lord.
They don't believe the laws of God. Let me tell you something today. The day that we live in today, the average preacher stands behind the pulpit and preaches against the laws of God and the necessity of it. And the gospel has been taken out of order.
Amen.
The gospel's out of order. Let me tell you something. I can preach John 3:16 till I turn blue in the face. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, little girl, did that help you? Hey, some of you lost people, did that help you? It don't help you because you don't believe that you're ungodly.
Amen.
You don't really believe that you're ungodly. You don't really believe that you're a sinner. And he said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. It's what the Bible says. Well, 1 Timothy 1:8, I just have a bunch of scriptures wrote down. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to preach, so maybe some of you administrators in here that know everything about God can teach me one day.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
You know everything about God, but you ain't ever had a burden in your life for anybody.
Come on, brother.
You know what everybody should be doing, but you ain't ever had a burden for a soul for one second in your life. You ought to get right with God.
Amen.
How about that? Get right with God. Well, 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Can you believe that in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul made a statement that everybody, you know, in these Baptist churches today, they'd call you a legalist for saying that. I want to show you something about that, and I just have some verses of scripture we'll get through, maybe. Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Right. Verse 11, watch this. He's talking about the law of God and what the law of God's good for. He said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. No, the law of God was preached according to the gospel. The law of God was preached according to the gospel.
Amen.
When the apostle Paul went amongst the Gentiles, he preached the law of God to them, and then he preached Christ to them, and then he told them that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ.
Right.
That's what he did. That's how he preached.
Yes, sir.
He preached the law of God to them. Why? So that they could see themselves as God sees them.
That's right.
Romans chapter 3, if you will. Romans chapter 3. You know what? I was thinking about it the other day. Me and my wife, we dealt with a young lady one time, and I really tried to persuade her against running away from home. And I made a lot of people mad in the process, but that's all right. Ain't that something? You make Christians mad trying to get people to, you know, obey the Bible and honor their father and mother and stuff like that. And it's amazing. But anyways, after she went out with some heroin addicts, I'm talking about a little church girl, talking about a little girl that grew up in a Baptist church, sitting under preaching every Sunday since she was a little girl, went and ran off with a heroin addict, never done drugs in her life or anything like that. And after she had messed her life up a little bit and that relationship kind of broke and everything, then she ended up getting married, having some children with a man, and that marriage ended up busting all to pieces and everything else. We were around her one day, and she finally made this statement, and not too long ago, it kind of stuck out to me. And but she said, you know what it did? It really matured me. Really matured me. I was looking over there in the book of Job. You know what it says? I've sinned and I've perverted that which is right, and it has profited me not. You know what she was saying? I've sinned, I've perverted that which is right, and it's been good for me. That's exactly what people do with sin. It's exactly what people do with their rebellion against God. It's exactly what people do with their disobedience against Him. How about that? Oh, it's been a profit to me. I've matured. I guess I ain't very mature.
Come on, brother.
Yes, it's a very... Hey, listen real close, young people. I have a burden for young people. I thank God that there's quite many young people here. But you know what? I've been in church long enough to understand that there's some little smiles that sit on little church girls' faces that get wiped off when they go out and live like hell. And then every now and then you'll see that far out gleam in their eye, that far out look in their eye, and they're out there somewhere in the world somewhere, and they go out and destroy themselves. I've seen it way too many times. I've seen too many boys that God's dealt with their heart and God spoke to them. They just shrug it off and shun it. And they go out there and they live like hell and live like the devil and all those things, and live a lifestyle contrary to everything that they've ever been taught. You know, there's little girls and little boys that sit in our church that get to hear the gospel week in and week out. You know, it's amazing. I think that we live in one of the hardest generations that there's ever been. How in the world can some of you people that claim to be lost sit in this place week in and week out in your rebellion against God? You can call it whatever you want to, but the reason why you ain't saved is because you hate God. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You say, I'm seeking God. If you were seeking God, you'd be saved, because He wants to save you more than you want to be saved yourself. The Bible said, if any man believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's born of God. There was a lady by a well one day, and she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? How about that? What? She believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. How about that?
Amen.
If you wanted to be saved, you would be saved. The Bible said it's not, you're not born of the will of the flesh. You're not born of the will of man. He said, but you're born by the will of God.
Amen.
Born by the will of God. Bible said, for his promise is not slack as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Jesus wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved.
Amen.
Ain't it something? I tell you what, every now and then as a child of God, we just get to sit at his feet a little while and worship. Bible said, whom having not seen you love and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what the greatest of the commandments Jesus said was? That you love God with all of your heart and you love your neighbor as yourself. There's a great misconception that people have, just as long as you're not a dope head or a drunk or a thief or an adulterer or a fornicator, that you're doing just fine. Let me tell you something. If you don't love God with all of your heart at every moment of every second of every hour of every day, you deserve to burn in hell when you die.
Amen.
If you don't love your neighbor as yourself at every moment of every second of every hour of every day like Jesus did, you deserve to fry in hell when you die.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
That's the word of God.
Yeah,
oh yes, you might as well believe it. Might as well believe it. You say you do. Ain't that something? There's people that sit in here and say, I believe the things in the Bible. If you believed it, you'd be saved.
That's right.
If you believed it, you'd be saved.
Right.
Well, Romans chapter 3. Bible says in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. How about that? You believe that one? I was born in a church. My dad was a preacher. As a little boy, you know how much I cared about the things of God? You know how much I went and sought after him? I would spit in the face of God time and time again, even as a little child.
Yeah. Right.
I wasn't searching for him.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't love him.
Yeah.
Well, you believe that? Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Is that you? Let me tell you something. We're monsters of iniquity. Monsters. You know what? Every now and then, Brother Askew's granddaughters will come to my house, and I try to spook them a little bit. My dad does. We have some stories. We have one, Black Mariah, that he tells all the little girls, and they all get terrified and scared to death. There's a story we've passed down in our family called Katie Bar the Door, and it's kind of based on a true story, but we've got our own little redneck twist to it. And had something to do with England and Lady Catherine sticking her arm through the door and they snapping her arm. But anyways, we tell the story. I told the little girls at church not too long ago, you know what's scarier than fake stories? Real stories. I don't mind telling little children some of these little fictional stories. The scarier stories are the true ones. Why? Because we're monsters of iniquity. I've seen church people do some of the most vile things that you've ever seen. I've seen preachers do some of the most vile things that you'll ever see, that you've ever seen. When I was a little boy, I was in a church, and the pastor of the church got hooked on opioids, and he tried to come in the church and preach while he was on dope. He came in there, got locked jaw. Well, we just so happened to be there, and my dad just made all the little children go outside because he thought it was such a shame the little children had to see such a thing as that in the house of God. We went and sat out there. Well, all the mature grown-ups brought it out there in front of the children. I watched that pastor's wife take pills and pull it out of that man's pocket. strung out on dope. That same pastor took every penny in that church, took the church and sold it, pocketed all the money and left. Monsters of iniquity. That's what mankind is. I don't care if you preach. I don't care if you pray. I don't care if you lead the singing. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or what you are. If you ain't ever been born again, you're going to bust hell wide open when you die.
Amen.
How about that? Well, I'll get to a point. Maybe, I don't know. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Well, I thought we were under the dispensation of the grace of God. Well, the Apostle Paul said, it says to them that are under the law. If you've never been saved by grace, you're under the law. You're under the law until you be married to another. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And listen, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. How about that? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. If you would, just real quick, I want to say something because I've heard Brother Asquith say it recently, and I've heard people kind of chuckle and laugh at it and everything. So I just figured I might as well say it here. And I said something about it at our church, so I figured I might as well say something about it here. Proverbs chapter 10, the Bible said in verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. You know, if you sit around and utter, I used to always quote that as if he that uttereth slander is the only one that's the fool mentioned there. I used to think that, and then I saw it pretty clearly. He that hideth hatred with lying lips is a fool. There's a lot of religious folks that do that. They know how to say things. The Bible said, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let your love be without dissimulation. How about that? And, you know, there's a lot of folks that they know how to articulate the way they tell you that they love you. They really know how to say it. And they really know how to put it out there to you. And then next thing you know, they stab you in the back, or you find out that they really don't love you. And he said, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. That's what we say. That's how we say it. But in deed and in truth.
Amen.
He that hideth hatred with lying lips is a fool. Let me throw this out there while I'm at that. The Bible said, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren.
Amen.
And if you hate me, you probably just need to get saved.
Amen.
Amen.
If you hate the saints of God, if you've got real problems, people all the time, I don't really hate them. You can't ever find anything good to ever say about them, but you don't hate them.
Right.
And I really, really, really don't like them, but I don't hate them. What do you think hatred is?
Right.
What do you think hatred is? Can't find anything good to say about them. Couldn't care less if they busted hell wide open. But yet you love them. You love people. Well, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. He said that every mouth may be stopped. We know how to talk, don't we? We know how to talk like we want God. I believe that I anticipate every time that I come to church, God will move and deal with people. Sometimes I suspect that he does, and then there's times I think we just grieve God so much.
Amen.
We grieve God so much. The Bible tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Quench not the Spirit. We're pretty quick to do in those things. But anyways, Matthew chapter 21. Verse 28. I hope that you can understand. People have titles to messages and everything like that. And I guess if you call this anything, I'm just preaching, trying to preach the gospel. That's all I'm trying to do.
Amen.
Trying to preach the gospel. Verse 28, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. This is a picture of the sinner and the Pharisee. This is a picture of the religious lost person and the ungodly heathen sinner. Verse 31, whether of them twain did the will of the Father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believe him not. Hey, there's a lot of folks that think that they've got to clean up really good on the outside. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came in the way of righteousness, and you believed not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. You know what's amazing? The Pharisees, I imagine, when people read this text, that they kind of think that Jesus is insinuating that in other places that the Pharisees wasn't sinners. The Pharisees were sinners. They were covetous people.
Amen.
And when it all came down to it, because they were covetous, they were murderers. And they slew and hanged Jesus Christ upon the tree. You don't think they were sinners? Yeah, they were sinners. But they didn't understand that they were sinners. And they didn't see that they were sinners. But the publicans and the harlots could see that they were sinners. Ain't that something? That's why you need the law of God to show you exactly what you are. You're not going to get saved because you'll clean yourself up enough to be saved. Let me tell you something. It takes a miracle working power of God to step into the life of a person and change them from the inside out. I was talking about it at our church not too long ago. And some children, I sit back and I look at them every now and then because they really don't even understand the statement whenever you make it. And every now and then, because sin took an effect in our lives and we dabbled in sin and played in sin and wallowed in sin and was full of hell and full of sin, it takes a lot of the childhood pleasures that you once had. But every now and then, while I'm driving up and down the road, every now and then while I'm in my prayer closet all by myself, and every now and then when I'm in the house of God and the songs of Zion are being sung, I feel like a little child again.
Amen.
How about that? Yeah. Oh, I tell you. The Bible tells us that that woman said that that in Jerusalem they worship. Jesus said that there'll come a time when not in this place and not in Jerusalem they'll worship, but the true worshipers will worship him. And the Bible said, if you'll worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. When's the last time? Amen. When's the last time that you sat at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him for a little while?
Amen.
When's the last time you sit back and just worshiped him for a little while? When's the last time that you made a fool out of yourself for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
How about that? Oh, little girl, have you ever seen your dad worship at home?
Come on.
Your little children see you worshiping at home.
Amen.
If you get saved, I believe you ought to worship.
Amen.
I know up north we sort of think it's a southern thing to be ignorant and loud. That's the way we get treated, like we're ignorant and loud. I've seen some Yankees get excited.
Amen.
I've seen some Yankees get excited about Jesus. How about that? Hey, and I like it too. I like it.
Amen.
I like it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to throw this out there too. I don't care a whole lot about this North and South stuff anyways. I know some preachers, they get all wrapped up in it, the North and the South and all that. Let me tell you something. I don't care nothing about any of that stuff. The war ended over 150 years ago. Just to let everybody know.
And the reason why I don't like talking about it anyway is because my side lost, but... So I don't like talking about it. I don't like it. I tell you what, I don't care if you're from the north, and I don't care if you're from the south, I don't care if you're from the dark jungles of Africa, I don't care if you've ever been born again, you can worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
You can get excited about Jesus. Oh, and I tell you what, we have something to be excited about.
Amen.
Well, he took our sin away.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not too long ago, I was thinking about a pastor that I've known. He pastors down in North Carolina. I'm just talking about sin just for a moment. And come to find out, his daughter-in-law, had terminal cancer. She had pancreatic cancer. And she's already passed away, but as soon as she found out, within a couple of days, she was dead. And you know, I was thinking about that, how sin operates. And you look at some little children, you look at people in their lives, and it looks like, you know, they're innocent little children and everything. But sin is deep down in their hearts,
right,
waiting to bust forth. Right. You know, it seems like it's hidden or something like that. And just like people didn't. She didn't detect that cancer, and it was living on the inside of her. She didn't see it, not for one second. The day that she found out, within a few days, she was dead. I was thinking, that's exactly how sin is. It's exactly how sin is. You know how some of us are? We get to a certain age, we learn how to try to hide things. We learn how to try to pretend to be something that we're not. And you find a lot of that within churches.
Yeah.
I like to tell this story, and some people get a kick out of it. But whenever you're young, you know, you act silly when you're a little child. And I think every person in here probably has a little child on the inside of them, waiting to bust forth. And you know what? And every now and then it just busts forth out of me, and I act plumb silly sometimes, act like a little kid. But some people, they really do a great work to try to hide that little child in them. But you know what? I remember it was a great fortune to me. I was blessed to get to sit and watch my great-great-grandmother in her last years. And my mom watched her, and her name was... her nickname was Topsy. That's what they called her. Her name was Frances Lucille Caudle Snyder. And she lived to be about 98 years old, I believe is what it was when she passed away. But I got to sit there and watch her. And what was funny, when you get to that age, you sort of resort back to your childhood and you act like a little kid again. And the person that she once tried to hide was just busting out. And every now and then, she'd come out of her little room and come into the living room, and she'd just be so sweet and so kind and so nice and friendly and everything, and you could sit there and talk to her. And then there'd be some days where she'd come out and she'd just be mad. She'd be mad, and we'd have to do something for her, and we'd walk across her, and she'd grab her cane and just bust you upside the head with it. And do things like that. Every now and then she'd get mad and she'd try to bite us. She had false teeth, and if they wasn't in, she'd just try to gum us, and she'd be mad. And she must have knew us pretty well, because she'd look at us and say, "You sorry, low down, good for nothing, dirty, dirty, low down dog, you." You hadn't done anything. She wasn't able to hide it anymore. Wasn't able to hide. You know, some people get that way about sin. I said it earlier. I've seen too many little church kids grow up, and that sin just busts forth, and they can't hide it anymore. I've seen a lot of folks. The Bible said the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. There was some seed that fell upon among the thorns, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choked it out. Then there was seed that fell on the stony ground, and because it had no much earth, when temptation came, it withered. And by it was offended, and it got out. Let me tell you something. sin will bust forth on you. I heard Herbert Williamson say, and he's an old wise man of God. He preached in our church one time, God will expose what you are before it's all said and done. Before you die, God will expose what you are. Let me tell you something. I've been to the funerals of men that claim to be preachers. I've been to the funerals of people that claim to be that didn't claim to be anything. Let me tell you something. God will expose you before you die. I've been to the funeral of preachers that their gambling debts were settled with their children there at the church, at the funeral home. God will expose you and for what you are before you die. He will. Well, I got some more verses here. Mark 2:17. He said, when Jesus heard it, talking about the Pharisees, they were criticizing him for eating with publicans and sinners. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician. There's some of you in here, you don't need Jesus Christ. Doing pretty good without him, ain't you? Doing pretty good without him. Live a life of ungodliness and sin and rebellion. You're doing pretty well without him, ain't you? He said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who did he come to call to repentance? People that have reformed themselves and made themselves better. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you're a sinner, you qualify.
Amen.
Well, Luke 14. Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. What? The religious people, the religious crowd, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? He said, compel those that are in the highways and hedges, the Gentiles, the ungodly crowd, the heathen, go compel them to come. Does it sound like he's calling people that are pretty good? There's some of you think you're pretty good.
Right.
He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Bible said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I know it's become a great doctrinal issue today amongst some Baptists not to believe in repentance. The Bible tells us that he granted repentance to the Israelites. And you know what? There's repentance for the kingdom of heaven. He told them to repent because the Son of God was going to come. The Christ was going to come. There's repentance for the kingdom of God. That's Mark 1:14-15. Jesus Christ preached repentance for the kingdom of God's sake.
Amen.
Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's the day and hour that we live in today. Whenever you get saved, the kingdom of God lives in you.
Amen.
The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
There's some things about myself that I'm really ashamed of. I'll be honest with you, I don't like to talk about a lot of it. And sometimes I don't want to teach my daughter some things about myself. There's some things I just don't want people to know about me. How about that? Jesus Christ knows. God knows. I looked at some of the children in our church a couple weeks ago. I told them, could you believe that a pastor's son would do a certain number of things? Me and Brother Dale were talking about. Brother Dale used to sing rock and roll music. I mean, death metal, that heavy metal. Could you believe that's the kind of stuff I like? I pick on my wife every now and then because she used to like, she's going to be mad at me. That's okay, honey. We all know you're ungodly. That's okay. She loves me for stuff like that. I hope.
What a blessing.
She liked that band Nickelback. And you know what's sad about it? Everywhere you go, you have to hear that trash. Everywhere you go, you have, and the garbage that I like, you don't ever have to hear it in public. I just tell, I'm glad the trash I listen to, you don't have to hear in public, because people ain't, on the masses aren't stupid enough, I guess, don't like the stuff that I like. But I like that dark stuff, that ungodly stuff, that rebellion against God, that hatred towards people. I like that stuff. I like that stuff that made you want to just take somebody and try to beat their brains out. That's the kind of stuff I liked. Pantera, you know who that is, Brother Dale.
Yes, sir.
Pantera. Hey, can you believe a preacher would like something like that? My flesh still likes it. My flesh still likes it. How about that one? Every now and then I want to walk with God. And I want to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ and be holy. Some of that filth and that trash comes into my mind.
Right.
How about that? My flesh just loves it.
Yeah.
Me and Brother Dale were talking about Slayer. I'm talking about heavy metal bands. Can you believe that? That's the kind of stuff that Zach Vernon likes. That's the easy light stuff. There's stuff I could tell you people in here. It would make your blood run cold.
Yes, sir.
It'd make your blood run cold.
Right.
Thank God there was a day when the Jesus Christ, the precious, darling Son of God, stepped in and changed me, made a new person out of me. And He gave me hope within, and He gave me a brighter future, and He gave me new desires. Let me tell you something. Hey, listen real close. Your desires is exactly what you are. And the things that you've done is exactly what you are. Until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll change you and He'll make you over and give you new desires. And you'll love the Word of God and you'll love the songs of Zion instead of that hell and that trash that I used to like. I like the songs of Zion. Hey! I tell you what I like to sing nowadays. I like to sing "And Can It Be?"
Oh,
and I should gain. Oh, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. I love, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what I like now. Hey, you know what happened? He changed my want to.
Right.
I don't do anything I want to and I won't lose my salvation. There's a lot of things that I don't want to do.
Right.
He changed me on the inside. That's what happens when you get born again.
Right.
You tell you something, I ain't no good. I don't care if you've been in the prison house or the church house. You're just as rotten and ungodly. You are a monster of iniquity just like the rest of us. I don't care what your mama or your daddy tells you. I don't care what any preacher's told you. You're just as ungodly as the rest of us.
Amen. Amen.
Just as ungodly.
Yes, sir.
Well, we sort of think that we're something. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know what the Bible tells us? I believe it's over there in the book of Isaiah. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. There's a lot of thoughts that I've had that were going to take me straight to hell. There's a lot of thoughts that some of you have that are going to take you straight to hell. You say, well, I think I'm doing the right thing. How long have you been doing it? How much has it worked for you?
Right. Yep.
There's some wrong thinking.
Right.
Some wrong thinking.
Right.
Let me tell you something. God's been good to this preacher.
Yeah.
He's been good to this preacher. Let me tell you something. He gave me that little girl right there. She gets to sit in the house of God and listen to the Word of God being preached. He gave me that woman right over there. You know, my wife was lost when we got married. She was lost. She thought she was saved. Dr. Sammy Allen from down in Resaca, Georgia, he was preaching one night. And he was a sort of a friend of our family. My dad's known him since my dad was about 6 or 7 years old. My dad went to the back of a church in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and there was a wild man running back and forth, quoting Bible verses and sweat sloshing in his shoes, preaching like a wild man running back and forth. My dad, as a little boy, looked out and said, "There's something different about that man." Something different about him. Oh, yes, there's something different about him. Thank God. And you know what? He was preaching one night, and I know some of you don't know him. He was sitting on the front row. He turned around, his eyes got about that big. And he looked back there at my wife, and he started walking down the center aisle preaching. He looked at my wife and said, "Young lady, are you sure that you're saved?" And you know, we went home that night. Am I telling it right, honey? We went home that night, and I was sitting in my recliner, rocking back and forth, and she came, and she just collapsed right in front of me. She said, "Why would he say that to me? Why would he say that to me?" It's because she needed to be sure that she was born again. God showed my wife that she had never been born again. She made a couple professions after that, and they didn't pan out, and she's just as mean as hell itself and all that stuff. I'm not trying to talk bad about my wife. I love my wife.
Amen.
Just a little self-righteous person. I'd sit and look at my wife, and I'd ask her, "What sin do you commit? What kind of sin are you in?" And she'd sit there bum-fuzzled and couldn't tell me one of them, could you? How about that for being blind? How about that for being blind? How about that about not being able to see your hand in front of your face? And there's some of you about that blind in here spiritually, can't see your hand in front of your face. When I was over there in Africa, now you girls that were over there, you tell me if I'm telling it right. You tell these people if I'm telling it wrong. You straighten me out. But when we were over there, I made the statement, there's some of you that think that you're more righteous than some of these filthy people over here that use the bathroom on the side of the road. There's some people that think they're better than them. The only reason why they have what they have is because they were raised in a home where mom and dad made them be what they are and taught them to be what they are. Outside of Jesus Christ, you're just as sorry and ungodly as you can possibly be. You know, it's amazing. Jesus Christ preached and preached and preached, but he could never get the Pharisees to repent. He could preach and preach and preach and preach, never get them to repent. How about that? I was reading over there in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, I believe is where it was. You know what? God began to send his wrath upon the earth. You find there in Revelation 16, pouring out his wrath upon the earth. I'm talking about where he's made the sun so hot that it began to scorch men. I mean, burning. You think they repented? There's some of you, if God put you in hell right now, you still wouldn't repent.
That's right. Come on.
You understand that? There's people that their hearts are so hard that if God put them in hell right now, they still wouldn't acknowledge him and believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Right.
He said that he scorched them. And yet they repented not, but they blasphemed him. What about that? I think about what would God have to do to get some people to repent?
Come on.
What would God have to do to get some people to repent? There's people that I've prayed over. And I wouldn't want to embarrass any of my family, any of my brothers. But both my brothers aren't saved. And they'll testify to the fact that they're not. You think that's a great burden upon me and my daddy and my mama? A great burden. Let me tell you something. If you're in here and you're lost, I want you to understand something today. I don't stand behind this pulpit very lightly. I just assume not even be here if God ain't going to use me. You understand that? I'd just assume not even open my mouth. I've prayed for my brothers, and I'm talking about you, about everything under the sun's happened in their life, and sometimes I wonder what will it take to get them to repent. Brother Church has been here. God flipped his car over on the side of the mountain while he was drinking and driving, and he sat in a hospital, looking up at the ceiling. And you know what? He still wanted somebody to, and he knew it was God dealing with him, but he still wanted some of his buddies to bring marijuana into the hospital. How about that? What would God have to do to get some men to repent?
Come on.
The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Yeah. The fact that people get caught is the goodness of God.
Yes.
The fact that people get the fact that God stops things right in their track is the goodness of God leading them to repentance. People sit around, they get bitter at God and mad at God. God's probably trying to lead you to repentance. Luke 15. And verse 11. There's three parables that Jesus Christ gives here. And people getting a little tizzy over this, and they all get mad and upset and everything. Is this prodigal son a sinner? Is he a backslidden person? Well, in the context, he's dealing with Pharisees and the sinners. And that prodigal son is a type of... Boy, I appreciate that, Miss Chelsea. I tell you what. maybe that's a sign. Maybe I should shut my mouth. I don't know.
I doubt it.
He's a mean one.
Luke 15. Was that your alarm for waking up in the morning? Or? All right, I'm sorry. Well, Luke 15, verse 11, I was saying there was three parables. Jesus is dealing with the sinners and the Pharisees. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's what some people need to do. I've sinned and I've perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me not.
Right.
You know why people continue in their ungodliness and their sin? Because they find profit in it. I know people whose lives, listen, I know people that I love dearly. This night their lives are wrecked and ruined because of sin.
Yep.
And they still find profit in it.
Right.
Still, there's people that find profit in their pornography.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm a sir. Come on. Oh, boy.
Find profit in their pornography.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad God gave me a wife. There's some men that love pornography more than they love their wives.
Come on.
That's
right.
Yeah.
How about that, honey? They love their little pornography. That's exactly right. It's ungodly.
Yes.
It's ungodly. Men sit around, they got wives lusting after other women. There's men, they sit around and want their wives to be kinky like some ungodly woman on a screen.
Right.
People sit around and whine about the women that God has put in their lives, and they sit around and just look at that filth and that trash, and they've tried to turn their wives into those women. Thank God I have a wife that's wholesome. Thank God I have a wife that's been born of God. I try to be very easy about it. You know what? We have such a wonderful love life. I don't need no pornography.
Hallelujah.
I don't need some little computer screen. You know what? I have a little girl. She's 9 years old, and she knows the password of my phone. I don't even know how to get out of having a password on my phone and all that stuff. She knows all the passwords. You know what I don't have to do when my little girl tries to snatch my phone up and take pictures of herself and sing songs to Luke Morey and things like that about how she loves him and things like that. Say amen, Gracie. Hey, you know what I don't have to do? I don't have to jerk and wonder what she's going to see on there.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about what my little 9-year-old girl is going to see on there. The trash and the filth and the ungodliness. Hey, I tell you what, there's a bunch of ungodliness more than that. How about some of the things that we let come out of our mouth? The multitude of words there wanteth not sin. Some people speak enough that they lie. And there's people, I'm sure, in this building, you lie and you lie so much that you don't even know that you're lying. Your conscience is dead. Your conscience is so dead, you can just lie and it doesn't even bother you. You can spread lies on people. You can gossip. You can backbite. You can slander. You can talk about people. And it don't bother you one bit. Don't bother you one bit. Let me tell you something. That's just as ungodly as being anything else under the sun. Running that mouth. Hey, you want to know one of the greatest sins in the Bible is a sin you commit with your mouth. The Bible said, if you any man commit any sin, it shall be forgiven him. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. There's some sins that you can commit with your mouth that are the most dangerous sins that you'll ever commit. Oh, there's some sins that you can commit. Ladies and gentlemen, being a fornicator, I'm talking about, you look in the Bible, fornication and adulteries and sodomy and things like that. Some of the sexual sins that people committed in the Bible, God judged more harshly than about any sin. And we think God's okay with our little perversion, don't we?
Right.
We think God's all right with our ungodly way of thinking.
Right.
Don't respect some of these men today. They don't respect women. It's a crying out loud shame what women have to choose from in men today. Men have lost the ability to be men.
Right.
And you know what? Hey, Gracie, come on up here. Honey, why don't you come on up here? I'm going to embarrass y'all. You see this little girl right here? I made this very clear to somebody at our church because people think being a man means that might mean that you're a big tough guy or a big mean guy. You know what being an adult man gives you the ability to do? And I'm saying all this to the grace of God. Not only am I able, has God given me the ability, I want to say it that way, to take care of myself. But I have a wife and I have a little girl. And I'm able to take care of them and love them and try to train my little girl in the right way.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. That's a man.
Right.
I'm not bragging. Hey, listen, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm talking about what God's done for me. Now y'all go sit down. You know what, my wife, she's expecting a little baby. We've got one on the way.
Amen.
You know what? Where's Miss Ruth Ann? Is she even in here? Well, I'll preach to her. I'll preach to her when I get the opportunity. But
she's watching.
I'm sorry, Miss Ruth Ann. I didn't mean that. I was trying to act tough. But me and my wife prayed for about 8 years that we have a little baby. And there's people in this building that have done the same thing. I'm talking about God's been good to me.
Yes,
amen. And you know what? One morning, I was reading my Bible over there in the book of Psalms, and it said that he openeth the womb and maketh her a joyful mother of children. Miss Ruth Ann, about an hour later, she sent that text to my wife. That day's the day we found out we were having a baby. Ain't that something? I sat there reading Psalms that morning, and that verse just leapt out to me, and I just started weeping and praising God over it. And I thought, well, maybe today will be the day. Maybe. We'll see. Come find out we have a little baby on the way. God's been good to me.
Amen. Thank God.
God's been good to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Tell you what, sin will ruin you. Jesus Christ will change you. He'll make a new person out of you.
Amen.
He'll make a new person out of you. Let me tell you something. I was a little pervert in my thinking. I brought them up here just to tell you this. I was a little pervert in my thinking.
Yes, sir.
Vile, ungodly. You know what? I remember being in school and I had a project about wrestling because I liked wrestling and I was a wrestler and I thought I was the toughest guy in all of Davie County. And I convinced myself of that. Well, how stupid. But I convinced myself of that. And come to find out, there's some guys that kill me with their bare hands. What did I say? Oh, I did a little project on wrestling. I'm just talking about the way I thought. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. You know, I hated the things of God so much that I had a project on that. You know, you can go about two routes in that. You can either go the Bible way and talk about Jacob wrestling with the Lord, or you can go the mythological route and believe Hercules was the first wrestler. You believe I was so ungodly that I was embarrassed of Jesus Christ. I chose Hercules over the Bible way. Can you believe that? Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. There's some ways of thinking that people have that are going to take you straight to hell. Let me tell you, and one of them is thinking that you're a pretty good person, that you're pretty righteous doing what you're doing, that you're making. You are a sinner. And you deserve hell. And Jesus Christ, one day, the Bible said, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he who, God himself, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. One day, Jesus Christ died upon the cross and took my sin. And that's all the hope that I have. That's all the hope that I have is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He changed me. Brother Dale, why don't you come on up here before I keep running my mouth?